welcome to episode 66 of The Ball Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This Cogito PR content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Ball Run about recent results, life on tour and life in general. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, James. You?
Good. Yeah, not bad. The sun's decided to make an appearance, which always helps after the sodding rain for weeks. So, nice. Not that it bothers you, international jet setter. You go where the sun is all the time, don't you?
Oh, I normally do, but Michelle, the missus, she's in Ayanapa as we speak.
Oh, lovely.
Gone to see her daughter, Tegan.
Oh, okay. Was it a bit of a girls' trip? Is it one of them with the Prosecco and all that kind of business? Is that?
I don't know. I think she got out there. Time she got to the hotel last night, it was about 10:30.
Right.
She went and met Tegan. She's like, I had enough then. I was ready to go to bed.
Blimey. Yeah. Car for my luck. I just want, like Cara and I, we always say, like the weekends and all that kind of business. You get that stage in life and you think, I'd love to do that, but I will be asleep by 11 o'clock and it'll just be a waste of time. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Oh, good.
It was off the cuff. So it was like a nice sort of, Tegan didn't know she was coming out.
Right.
So obviously, me and Michelle planned it all. I'm babysitting our kids.
Right. Oh, you've been tucked up for a treat, haven't you? So when's Shell back?
She gets back late tomorrow night. So.
Right.
It's only like a couple of days away, sort of thing.
Oh,
so.
Mate, she's going to be hanging, and it'll be dark sunglasses. Will it be that kind of setup?
I don't think she can hack it anymore. I think it's just literally round the pool, get a bit of sun, and just chill for a couple of days. No kids, no dogs, no cats.
Yeah. So how are you getting on with the childcare routine then? You're holding it all down?
Well, don't tell Michelle, but I think it's really easy.
Good luck with that.
I'll
wait for the black eye picture on Facebook. All right, let's get on with the show. Right, listen, exciting news for Team Bingham this month with an announcement that Taom Billiards will be your official sponsor for the 2024-25 season. As I'm sure many of our listeners know, Taom specialise in producing brilliant chalk products for the Q Sports industry, and the V10 is their latest product, and you can find all of their kit at taombilliards.com, and I'll leave a link to that website in the show notes. So first of all, how did that partnership come about, Stu?
Obviously thanks to Taylor, TW Sports Management. We sat down together, and obviously we went a few companies. They sponsored me for the UK Open nine ball and one of the hay ball events, and me and Taylor got together, said see if they will do anything else for any more, and Taylor spoke to them, and they're happy to do a full season, so like across all Q Sports as well. So yes, obviously turned out a really good partnership.
Yeah, brilliant. Just with regards to Taom's chalk, is it something you use for both snooker and pool? And crucially, has it helped cut down on those irritating, clunky kicks?
Yeah, definitely. I remember, I think Robin Hole come, I don't know how many years ago, he come out sort of with his chalk, saying this new chalk's coming out. It was obviously the first edition. It was obviously, first off, we were using, I think it was triangle chalk or master's chalk. It's like a big cube of chalk, and then it was all this little round bit of chalk that obviously started using it, just felt really small, but for me it sort of cut out on how I chalk the cube, chalk the tip. I was sort of going through a new like a ferrule every sort of 6 to 8
months.
You're
quite hard, you're quite aggressive with it, sort of thing, are you?
Yeah, so it actually did save me on I can't remember the last time I've changed my ferrule through the chalk, so it saved me on that. But say that it went through first edition, second edition, 2.0, then they went to gold, then they done the pyro blue chalk, and then they've eventually got to the V10, and yes, definitely without a doubt,
it's stopping the kit, is it?
Kicks, yeah. Stopping kicks, bounces, and you see the difference when sort of, there's only probably two or three people that don't use it on tour. And
I was going to ask what the percentage is. You've kind of answered that question. So you'd say the vast majority, is that's the one that you use. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a few people like stay with the triangle or the master's chalk, and but like I say, it's literally only two or three people I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, it's definitely been a game changer in our game in the last maybe probably 10 years.
With regards to the action, you know, despite being a summer break for the World Snooker Tour, you were in competitive action this month at the latest Joy World Handball Tour Masters event. It takes place in the Chinese port of Qinhangdao. As always, with these things, sorry if I've murdered pronunciation there, but that's my best stab. Now that place is it's renowned for its picturesque coastal landscapes. So, I mean, first of all, how was your trip?
Yeah, good. A bit of a short journey. Obviously, talking to the organisers, they said I was going to sort of not play till about 11th or 12th. I think I got out there on the 8th, and I was playing on the 9th. Obviously, I like to prepare a bit better than that. Obviously slept great for the first night because I was tired through the travelling. But the second day, I had about 3 hours sleep. Just felt drained obviously all day, but yeah, started off good. I played Andrew Paget, who's obviously a snooker pro. I think it helps for sort of like say that's only this is only my second tournament, so sort of just trying to bed into the tactical side. So playing another snooker player, it was just whoever potted and cleared up the most times, really. We're both making good breaks, both making silly errors, so obviously, this at the newest stage of playing it all. I think we're going to go through that stage. But so I won. You need to win two out of three matches in each stage to get through. They do a double elimination.
It's like a round robin kind of groupie leaguey thing, sort of thing. Is that right?
No, it's sort of like it is drawn out. It's totally random drawn each match.
I see.
So yeah, you just got to win two out of three. You win two. First two, you're in the next day. You ain't got to play the third match. But if you sort of lose one, win one, then you've got the third match. And same if you win and lose, you've got to play the third match.
And Andrew sort of pipped you in your match with him, did he? Or
Sorry, say it again.
I said you played Andrew. The result there, he beat you in your clash with Andrew, yeah?
No, I ended up beating him 13-10. It was close all the way through. Andrew's played it a few more times than me, so. He had a bit more of a clue about it, but felt like I was sort of playing maybe the better in the match. I think we got to about nine all. There's a break after nine frames, so it was. I think it was eight all, and obviously another break, and then first to 13, and I think we got to sort of like nine all, and then I pulled away to go 12-9, 12-10, and then 13-10.
Gotcha. I mean, I mentioned on topic. I really struggle to find the results for the Joy Handball World Tour, so it's a bit of admin here. If anyone listening can point me in the direction of a website that lays out all those results easily, and please get in touch. You know, it seems like it's one of those things. It's sort of foreign and exotic, but you know, us back home trying to watch you guys, it would be really useful. Because I mean, just on that, I mean, the Joy Handball stuff's really taken off now, right? I saw Mark Williams is now involved. Can you see more and more top snooker players having a go at at that format in the coming years?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it's people have been the snooker players have been playing it for the last sort of 10 years on and off. So there's obviously just not Joy. There's obviously other. I think Star do their own tournaments. But once you're sort of signed up with one, you obviously can't play on others. So obviously I'm signed up with Joy, so
I
obviously I
see,
can't play
that's
on
how it works. Do
others.
they all fall under the, again, we're getting into a bit boring administration, but they all fall under the WPA, essentially, but they're kind of their own franchises. Is that kind of how it works?
I'm not 100% sure, to be
No,
honest.
this is
I
it.
think it is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I think the interest is then there's obviously a massive market and stuff, but it's just about kind of, and particularly for the British audience, it's just about kind of making it clear where you find your guys. But just on the pool itself, you mentioned about the tactics. I saw you giving an interview and stuff. I mean, you're such a good match player with the snooker, you know, it's those decisions and all that kind of thing. Are you kind of learning pool from the ground up at the moment? Are you kind of learning where you need to be and what you need to do, you know, throughout matches tactically? I'm talking, obviously.
Yeah. Like I say, obviously, my second and third match, I lost both to pool players, English pool players.
Right.
So obviously, just watching them in different shots they play.
Mm.
I'm thinking, why have they done that? And then, like, yeah, a couple of shots later, it's like,
it pays
oh,
off. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So they're very clever in that way.
Yeah,
where they've had that background. Obviously, if I get a chance, I sort of like maybe 8 times out of 10 I'll clear up.
Mm.
But it's sort of like when they get a chance, it's like 9 times, 10 times out of 10 they clear up.
Right.
It's like they play, like, obviously there's different patterns than what a snooker player would do.
Yeah.
So obviously we rely on our sort of positional play to sort of be very good, which it is, maybe compared to them players, but they play for areas where they give themselves a chance to pop balls where we try and land on the next ball. So
you've got to have it on a string in snooker. You can kind of get yourself out of trouble in pool with just a very high skill set, I suppose. Is that kind of it?
Yeah, it ain't so much. Even though the pockets are quite tight in the Chinese table, with the bigger balls and everything, but they make sure they give themselves a chance every time where we try and be on the next ball, so it's easier.
Yeah, yeah. So just on the pot, I mean, you've been playing quite a bit of it. Are you going to try and weave it in a lot more to the snooker tour this season, or, you know, how are you going to sort of bring the two worlds together, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm just trying to play as much as I can with everything, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, 9 ball, Chinese 8 ball, and snooker. Obviously, snooker takes a priority, but if there's dates in the, if there's gaps in the calendar, then I'll try and do as much as I can.
We finally a look ahead to your return to competitive snooker this week. On Friday, you will take part in Stage 1, Group 18 of the Championship League. You've got matches against Anthony Hamilton, Ahmed Ali Asiyed, and Hamin Hussein. Now, it only seems like 5 minutes ago you were in with a real shot of becoming world champion again. So are you glad the tour has rolled around this quickly, or were you enjoying your time off?
Yeah, no, I really had a break. I had a few exhibitions. Mm. I've had the day off here and there, really. Obviously, a couple of days off travelling, going to obviously the hay ball and the 9 ball. But don't really feel like I've had a break. So, which is maybe probably going to be a good thing, like, hopefully, in this first tournament and sort of kick off the season, hopefully, meant to carry on sort of thing.
Before you go, always when the football's on, I've got to ask you about England and the tournament. Have you been watching the Euros? I mean, you've been busy, you've been travelling about. What did you think of England's win over Serbia on Sunday, and how far do you think our boys can go in Germany this summer?
Yeah, they've done well. Obviously, first half, looked like they obviously played well to score the first goal. Obviously, Jude Bellingham, the star of the world, in years to come.
What were you like at 20, mate, as a snooker player? You're just as daft as the rest of us. He's out there marching around bossing football matches.
I can't remember that long ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, for a 20-year-old, he's an impressive sportsman, isn't he, obviously?
Yeah, without a doubt. Like you say, I've seen a few things, like with his family, keeps him grounded, and hopefully he can turn out to be one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Ever sort of thing he could.
Yeah, no, actually, he could be an all-time great. If he wins us the Euros, he'll be well on the track. But, okay, listen, we're going to wrap up. I did float the idea before we came on air today. I said, now, my wife is called Carla, for anyone who knows me. And obviously, when I record a podcast with Stuart, she often eavesdrops. You know, she's working on the other computer, and we often talk about it. And she always tends to come up with a stupid question, a daft question, follow up question, basically. So I said, well, listen, next time I speak to him, I'll ask you a stupid question, and we'll see what he says. So let's start with one today. We obviously watch the world stuff. We watch the Crucible, She watched the two tables set up, and every time there was a roar from the other table, you know, watching the other match, or a groan or whatever it was, she was incandescent. She said, well, that's not fair. That must put him off. So Carla's stupid question was, do you practice, or how do you prepare to be put off in the two table setup?
Well, I don't know if you can practice for it, but I'll try and have the kids in the room.
Yeah, that would do it. Or Marnie hanging off your leg or something. Yeah.
If I could practice with them in the room, then yeah, I'm flying really.
Yeah.
It is tough sometimes.
Has it ever got you? You know, you ever been down on one and a roar is like really kind of like, oh, you know, really messed you up sort of thing? Or
yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's hard. Sometimes you can you sort of do hear on the other table where it's coming up to like us, I don't know, the end of a match or end of a session.
Mm.
And you sort of like half realise that obviously people start going to get up and obviously walk out and things like that. So you might, a couple of times I've sort of paused and maybe we've gone back to my chair just to wait and get my concentration back and things like that. But it's tough. Sometimes, like I say, sometimes you can play a shot and someone shouts out just as you're about to hit a ball and it can be awkward. But it all depends how your concentration is on that day. So
there was a bit of that this year, wasn't there? There was a bit of talk about that, you know, Jack Jones and his supporters, and not just Jack. I'm not singling him out at all. I mean, I know it's happened with a lot of people over the years. But have you found crowds are changing in personality and etiquette and stuff over the years, or is it always just been the same sort of thing?
Yeah, it's always been the same sort of bit. Everyone's going to have their favourites.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've had people coughing on the shot. Obviously, alarms going on, phones, obviously phone ringing.
Yeah,
like on important shots. So yeah, you obviously do get people trying obviously to, I know, change shots and try and put you off.
It's not people's imagination, not paranoia, is it? It's marginal gains. It does go on, doesn't it? Those little things, sort of thing.
Yeah, like I say, to be honest, this year there was one instance, I think near the end of the match, where, to be honest, I didn't even know anything was going on. But Marcel, the referee, he knew exactly what was happening, and he went over and spoke to someone, and I was like, "What are you on about?" And he said, "Are you okay?" Because he was coughing. And someone tweeted me that that they see one or two guys actually doing it while I was playing a shot. Saying it was like a bit out of order. And like I say, just as I was going to hit the ball, even Marcel sort of looked over. But like I say, to be honest, I didn't notice it.
No.
So like I say, some days you can hear someone open a sort of a sweet rapper.
Yeah.
And other days, like I know, someone could shout and you wouldn't even notice it, sort of thing.
No, absolutely.
So,
well, listen, I'll report back to her. Carla's stupid question. You never know. May come up in the future. But anyway, listen, as always, it only remains me to say thank you very much for your time today, Stuart. And of course, best of luck for the Championship League stuff on Friday.
Love it. Thanks, James. Cheers.